Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome. It's Monday, October the 15th. And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli. Tonight's guests will include Miss Sprint Cup. Kim Coons should be joining us shortly, and a little later on, local driver Garrett Marchant. And I think this would be our guest, Miss Sprint Cup, Kim Coons. Is that you, Kim?
It is.
Hi, Kim. Last time we talked to you was the beginning of the chase prior to, and you said you wanted to come back on about halfway, and lo and behold, 5 short weeks later, we hit the halfway mark.
There you have it.
Tony, anything that have you seen in the past 5 weeks that might be a pleasant surprise? I personally think the fact that Brad Keselowski is leading the points kind of has five-time Jimmy Johnson and the defending champ Tony Stewart scrambling.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Brad leading the points and winning the races he has been a surprise, but he is a good driver. But I did like the results after the Bank of America 500 because I like there to be a good chase contention. And I like going into Homestead Miami Speedway knowing who the champion is. So with that, Brad finishing, I believe, 11th, I think it was, and Clint winning, and then Jimmy and Denny doing well at Charlotte. It kind of narrowed the points lead for Brad and then brought, you know, those top four guys a little bit closer together.
Yeah, nobody likes to see a runaway in the chase. They want to see it bunched up. So when they do get to Homestead, it'll come down to the last lap like it did last year.
Yes, absolutely. It was exciting last year. So hopefully we can have a pretty good show this year too.
So how many races in the chase are left for you, or are you getting to go to all of them being it's crunch time?
I have Martinsville off, so I'll go to Kansas and then Texas Phoenix Homestead, which those are a handful of my favorite races, so I'm very, very excited and looking forward to some good racing and getting to see all the fans at all those tracks out at the Sprint Experience, which is our fan display, because it's great to meet fans, you know, from all over, and hopefully we'll see some good racing, too.
That's for sure. It seemed to me that the Bank America 500 started out kind of crazy early and with all those quick cautions, and then you didn't see one for a while, and it came down to a fuel mileage play, and with Brad Keselowski known for getting good mileage, he kind of ran his car out of gas and hurt himself limping to the pits to get that splash to go to the distance. I think other than that, he pretty much seemed to have the dominant car pretty much through the middle portion towards the end of the race.
Absolutely. I think those cautions we saw at the beginning were great because we've seen a lot of green flag racing this season, so it was nice to have those cautions. And then I was actually really glad to see Clint win, even if it was kind of a fuel mileage situation with Brad having to get a gas and go, and which put him behind. But, you know, Clint has been kind of my underdog in the chase, so to see him win that race, his third of the season, and move himself up a little closer to that championship contention was exciting for me.
Now, do you and the other Miss Sprint Cups have like a little fantasy league going on for the chase here? Or
No, I think, you know, we do chat about it and say, you know, it'd be fun to see this guy win or that guy, and obviously we do our 4G Fast race picks each weekend where, you know, we pick who we think is going to win at that race. But I think all of us just really want to see a good championship weekend down in Homestead Miami Speedway because it's going to be, you know, hopefully as exciting of a race or close to as exciting of a race as we saw last year. And we're excited, you know, just to finish off the season strong and doing a lot of different fan stuff. And we have a great promotion going on at Homestead, where we're giving away a Ford EcoBoost 400 official pace car that they're going to use at that Homestead Miami race, and fans can sign up to win it at the Sprint Experience. So mainly our chit-chat is about, you know, who's going to win each weekend, and then, you know, talking about how each of the points or the chase contenders finish off, and then all the fan stuff we're looking forward to. So like I said, hopefully we're looking forward to having a strong season finish.
Yeah, that's for sure. This way we could maybe see somebody like, it'd be nice to see Gordon sneak in a win, or Casey Kane, or Truex make it look that much better for, you know, Michael Waltrip Racing. This way Clint would get a win and Truex would get a win. Now we're going to Kansas, another mile and a half where I think then Martinsville will short track a couple weeks from now down in this my neck of the woods here, and then go to Texas another mile and a half. So that kind of plays well for these high-speed events there before we hit Phoenix, which is a little bit more of a driver's track, and you have to have the right handling, and then, of course, out at Homestead to wrap it up for the Ford weekend. And giving away that pace car always seems to attract a lot of fans that want to sign up for that. So I guess you have your work cut out for you this next few weeks, except for Martinsville. You'll be off.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see some exciting racing. As you said, we have some good tracks coming up. And, you know, every single moment of these races counts for these drivers, especially the chase contenders. You know, if you listen in on NASCAR Sprint Cup Mobile, which is our app where you can turn your phone into a scanner if you've got a Sprint Android device like the Samsung Galaxy S3 or a Sprint iPhone, you actually can listen in to the drivers while they're racing. So it's interesting when you're hearing the drivers during the race talking with their crew chief and stuff, because it's not just like, oh, we need to win. Because, you know, there was such a close finish last year, you know, Carl and Tony tied in points and it came down to win. So listening on NASCAR Sprint Mobile to the crew chief and the driver, not only is, you know, leading a lap important in that and hopefully winning, but every single track position, if you listen to them, is important too. And you hear, you know, the crew chief and the driver talking and saying, you know, we need the best track position, you know, even if they're not winning. You know, a 10th place finish is better than an 11th, and a 7th place finish is better than an 8th, because you never know how close those points are going to be when it comes down to deciding the champion.
That's why a lot of these guys, too, want to, if it's going to go green and you have green flag pit stops to where they want to stay out and lead the lap before they come in the pit, because they'll never know if they'll get that point, and then work their way back, because figuring if you have a good pit stop, you can make up some ground. So everybody's going to be fighting it out because it's coming down to crunch time. We're at the top of we just, you know, crested the top of the hill. So the chase is going to be winding down here. And then, of course, you get the party in Las Vegas shortly after the Homestead race for Champions Week.
Absolutely. I'm very excited about Las Vegas. Champions Week is always fun, especially NASCAR after the lap, which actually the sweepstakes I mentioned where fans can sign up to win the Ford EcoBoost 400 from Homestead Miami Speedway. They also, if they win, get a trip to Las Vegas for two to attend NASCAR after the lap. And it's a lot of fun. Everybody at Sprint looks forward to it because it's a good time, you know, to just kind of reflect on the season, and that NASCAR after the lap is a fun event because it's unscripted, unfiltered, kind of off the cuff. You've got the top 10 drivers actually participated in it. And because the season's kind of winding down and we already have a championship, you know, they're more off the cuff and a little bit more silly. Like last year, they got Jeff Gordon to break dance. So it's always a good time, and definitely everybody looks forward to that.
They got Jeff Gordon to break dance?
They did. So that's an incentive for fans to come by the Sprint Experience and sign up for that sweepstakes, because they could get a trip to Las Vegas to attend that. And like I said, last year, you know, I think Jimmy Johnson had mentioned Jeff's breakdancing skills, and all the guys up there were kind of egging him on until finally he just broke out and did a breakdance for the audience. They loved it. So it was definitely a highlight of last year's Vegas. So hopefully this year something will happen to top that, because Jeff Gordon breakdancing is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I would think so, especially he's not as young as he used to be when he was winning a lot of championships. So you got to watch them creaky old bones, you know?
Yeah.
Now, the Samsung Galaxy S3, is that the newest phone to supersede the HTC Evo? Because I know you were touting that the last time, and now the Galaxy, the touch sharing and all that kind of stuff seems to be a pretty neat feature.
Yeah, that's the phone we're loving right now, especially when we're trying to get pictures in the garage and in the pits for our Facebook account and then our Twitter, at Miss Sprint Cup, for fans to get an inside look. And the Samsung Galaxy S3 has been awesome. I know when we talked before, I told you about the HTC Evo 4G LTE having that continuous shooting camera. Well, the Samsung Galaxy S3 has that too. They call it burst shooting. So it's really great for catching the quick action out on the track. If you're a fan, it's great because capturing those moments can be hard because NASCAR is such a fast sport. And then it also has that unlimited S-beam sharing where you can share with the touch of a phone. So we've been loving it. It really is a great device and makes our job easier and gives us, you know, the ability to capture those great, you know, pictures you see if you follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
And I do see all your all the posts because I follow you guys on Twitter and like your Facebook page. So, hey, you're part of the show from time to time, so we've got to keep up on everything, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And we try and give fans and everybody that follows us like a different look than they'll see from like the news media. More, we try to get a fun side of the drivers, kind of not catch them off guard, but get the moments that that fans may not be able to see otherwise.
Well, that's the thing too. I mean, you're more apt to get certain shots that those professional photographers with those monster lenses can't, because you can go in and out of the haulers. They're stuck in on a tower somewhere. And with today's new cell phone technology, with the cameras go, I'm surprised that they're still around with those dinosaur things. I mean, it's just amazing what you can work with a phone now.
I know. We joke with the camera guys and the photographer that we're going to put them out of business just because the phones are so great now. You know, fans can, on their own, take pictures that are just as high quality as some of the photographers should get and capture the same moments, because it used to be you had to have those big fancy cameras to do that continuous shooting or burst shooting, and now your phone can do it. You don't even have to have a camera. Just your phone will do that. So it definitely helps catch those unique and memorable, you know, pictures out of the track.
Now, do you have the Samsung Galaxy S3, or are you still stuck with the HTC Evo right now? I don't know how it works. Being you're the spokespeople, they give you the newest toy every time it comes out.
Yeah, they try to get us the latest and greatest phones, and we actually like to use a mix of them. Obviously, we are using the Samsung Galaxy S3 out of the track to take pictures and stuff, but we still give love to the HTC Evo 4G LTE. We love that phone still, and, you know, I've got a Sprint iPhone, too, that I like to use sometimes. So they do a good job of giving us all the phones to use so we can, you know, talk smart about them when a fan, you know, comes to us. And because that's one of the number one questions I get is, what's the newest, greatest phone? Or I want a phone that has, you know, this feature. What's the best one for me? So Sprint does a great job of getting our hands on all of the phones so that we're knowledgeable about them and can talk to fans about them, especially if they've got questions, if they're on the market for a new one.
How many different phone numbers do you have to carry? I mean, you're talking about three phones that we have now between the iPhone, the HTC Evo, and the Samsung Galaxy S3. That's like, these are a lot of numbers to memorize. Okay, this is my professional phone, this is my personal phone, and
luckily, I'm not giving my phone number out too much, but typically I'll use one mainly for, you know, family and friends, and then others for work and that sort of thing. But, you know, I'm too busy catching the action on the track as a camera of the phone that I hardly ever think about, you know, all the numbers I have to remember or anything like that.
It's kind of hard. Now, which phone are you using to join us on the show here?
Samsung Galaxy S3.
Aha. And that's got like a bigger screen too than some of the other ones.
Yes, and it's a beautiful screen. The colors are great. So I highly recommend it. And we've got some if any of the fans are making it out to any of the remaining races in the Chase for NASCAR Sprint Cup. We have them that we obviously use, and then we've got them on display at the Sprint Experience too, where fans can come check them out.
Well, I know that Samsung has been in the computer monitor business long when computers first started coming out, and they graduated to the television sets, going with the first the CRTs,
yeah,
then the plasmas, then the LCDs, now the LEDs, and I'm sure they got that resolution down to where when you're looking at that, was it a 5-inch screen that you have or 6 on the Galaxy?
I believe it's close to 5.
It's 5. That's still a pretty good size. I mean, at one point, cell phones went from the big blocky things to little flip things that you used to see in the old Star Trek shows. Now they're more like a small iPad or a tablet.
Absolutely.
Excuse me, a tablet.
Well, you know, if the company is making TVs and great screens to watch, you know, all your entertainment at home, then you know that they're doing a good job with the phones.
Now, the difference between the old 3G and now they got, what does the LTE stand for? Because they didn't have that anything like that with the 3G. It was just 3G phone. Now everything, the new stuff is 4G LTE, which...
Yeah, the 4G, it just is increasing the coverage, so it's faster and... all the things you're going to want, especially if you've got the Sprint Unlimited plan, which is unlimited text, web, and calling. You don't have to worry about throttling, metering, and overages. So if you're using your phone a lot, that's definitely something you're going to want in a phone is greater coverage, which is awesome.
Now, is that mainly just for texting and data? Because I think, and I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, Sprint used to run on CDMA technology for the voice. They still do that, or is it all 4G now?
They're transitioning over, and LTE actually stands for long-term evolution, which, you know, a lot of customers don't really pay attention to that sort of thing. They just want to know, does my phone work, does it not? And you know with Sprint, they always do a great job, whether it's a 4G phone or a 4G LTE or even 3G, that they're doing everything they can to make the customer happy.
And a happy customer means more customers for Sprint.
Absolutely.
So I guess then the chase is tightening up. New phones coming out. Anything new coming out on the market? The iPhone 5, is Sprint going to have that by the end of the chase?
Hopefully. Hopefully they will, but right now we're focused on the Samsung Galaxy S3. And like you said, the chase contention is getting heated, and hopefully we're going to see some great racing in the next 5 races to come.
Yeah, it should be pretty interesting to see that. Just remember one thing, if you do get the new iPhone 5, don't use the Apple Maps. It seems to have a glitch. Use your Samsung Android-based one for that.
Will do.
At least that's what they say. I'm still stuck in 3G land on my cell phone, so as soon as I'm ready to renew, it's time to start shopping. So I got another little while yet. That's the problem when you wait to get the stuff at the cheaper rate, so you wait till the end before the new stuff comes out. And then I should have waited. But you're on the cutting edge there as a Sprint spokeswoman and enjoying
this
chase. So you get all the new stuff and get to talk about it. So
yeah,
that's why we like to have Miss Sprint Cup on. Talk about the new phones. Talk about the chase. Which drivers you're pulling for? So you're going to Kansas this week. So who do you like in that one?
Oh goodness. Well, honestly, I like to see guys who have not, you know, won in a long time, or they're going after their first Sprint Cup Series win. Obviously, with it being in the middle of the chase, you want the guys in the chase to do well at the track. Like I said, I would love for Clint to continue to do well, because I think he'd be a fresh face as a champion. But, you know, you never really know. Denny won in Kansas earlier this season, so he could certainly be in contention for the win this weekend, in addition to him being, you know, in that chase contention for the championship. I know he really wants it. So I think look out probably for Denny.
I know Clint's, what, 28 points back? So you have the top four within 28 points of each other. And he's actually, with that win, put himself into contention. Now, Kansas, it's his home track. So he might want, he probably might step up his game a little bit.
That's true.
To find the groove on that 15 car. So I think, being he's your underdog pick, you might be secretly cheering him on behind the scenes.
I don't know about that. I cheer all the guys on because you want all of them to have a good race. But Clint's from Kansas, so it would be nice for him to win in his home state. But like I said, I think you probably need to watch out for Denny. I think Denny's going to do well this weekend.
Yeah, I do too. He's always, but Denny's always a threat every race. It's usually some mix-up in the pits that costs him.
Yeah.
And if he can get that together, and I think he would have had a shot this week, but he just couldn't make up the distance on Clint this past weekend due to the way the final pit stop shook out. So I don't know,
yeah.
Kim. It's pretty interesting that the way it's turning out, and I'm glad it's starting to bunch back up because I didn't like seeing too much of a stretched out field there like a couple years ago when Jimmy Johnson seemed to catch fire and leave everybody in the dust, and he did it for a few years in a row. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Like hopefully, we'll see a good contention here till the end.
So. I guess we'll just, you have a nice, safe, enjoyable weekend in Kansas City. Have fun at the race. Hopefully you'll draw the short straw and get to go to Victory Lane. who's working the weekend with you?
Jacqueline and Kristen will both be there with me. I have Victory Lane, but all three of us will be there because Sprint's actually based in Overland Park, Kansas. So we like to all go when it's the Kansas race. And go to the Sprint headquarters if we get the chance and, you know, do some special employee things. So Kansas is always a big weekend for the Miss Sprint Cups.
Oh, that's interesting. So that's the home track not only for Clint, it's for Sprint.
Absolutely. Yep.
So, well, that's pretty good. Then I guess hopefully I'll definitely be seeing you on TV in Victory Lane. Which driver is going to
yep.
be there with you, giving you the beer bath? We'll just have to wait and find out.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
All right, Kim, thank you for joining us. Go out and enjoy the rest of your evening because I probably have to get ready and get all packed up for some
yep.
head on out there. And glad to have you back on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me back on. It was fun.
And who knows, we'll have you back on after it's all said and done, if you'd like to come back on and plug the championship.
Absolutely.
Week.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
All righty. You take care now, and bye-bye.
All right, you too.
There you have it. Miss Sprint Cup. Kim Coons joining us here on Garage Talk Live. Garrett Markson will be joining us in a little bit. NHRA was off this past week, and so it all came down to NASCAR. The IndyCar season's all done and over with. So it was a night race weekend. Of course, the Dollar General 300 was run Friday night. Joey Logano was the dominant car, leading 62 laps. Of course, he's not running for a championship, but it just one of the deals that the Cup guys come in. It's the home track for all the teams, except for maybe a couple like Fred Chereau, who's based in Colorado. But all the shops are there, and of course, Joe Gibbs Racing, Richard Childress Racing, Roush Fenway, they all have their shops down in that area. So it's a weekend that everybody gets to go to the track that normally doesn't get to go due to travel and all that. So it's like the hometown race for the hometown crowd, and everybody's a homer that day. And The top five spots went to Sprint Cup drivers. Joe Logano taking the win. Has having a great year this year in Nationwide. Of course, he's not eligible for a championship, but he's won a lot of races. Kevin Harvick came home second. Actually, Elliott Sadler, I say he's the top the Cup guy, but he went down to the Nationwide Series. So he started from the pole in the race, wound up third. Good night for him, 42.9. He was the first one in the top five to get credited with points because Kyle Busch, who finished fourth, Denny Hamlin, fifth, are Sprint Cup racers that come back down. Kyle Busch looking for that first win in his own car. Of course, that car, the 54, does have a victory. Of course, Kurt was driving it at Richmond. This is getting close to crunch time for Kyle Busch to tie Mark Martin's record of consecutive years with a win. If he doesn't get it this year, then that streak will be broken. Of course, he's got the record for most wins of all time in the series, but to get that year's consecutive season with a win, be another feather in his hat. Of course, that's a team that he started from the ground up beginning of the year and didn't come as easy as the Truck Series did, so he's having a tough time. Hamlin in the race, a lot of the cars were, including Denny Hamlin's and all the Dollar General cars, which was the other one of Brian Scott. And most of the other cars had pink paint schemes, being October's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and a lot of the cars pink in support of that. So we have Austin Dillon was the next in sixth, the next Nationwide regular. Ricky Stenhouse was in seventh. Eighth was Brian Scott. Ninth was James Buescher. Tenth was Michael Annette. And 11th was Danica Patrick, who got lapped on the last lap of the race, which kept her from finishing on the lead lap. So everybody wonders what's going to happen. Is she going to get a win or what? It's another week that she kept the car in one piece, so that's a good sign. So we'll just have to wait till the next race to see if she can climb towards the front out in Kansas. And do I think she should go to Sprint Cup full-time next year? If you want, give me a call, 646-649-1899, and we'll take your thoughts. But I think another year Nationwide would be beneficial to her. And that would help her get the seat time that she would need to compete. So, yeah, the fact that she had two partial years in Nationwide, this is her first full season, I don't think it's going to help her out in the long run. So the more seat time she gets in the Nationwide Series, maybe she can get some more top 10 finishes and maybe a win here and there. I know everybody wonders why she gets all the airtime and all that, but she's a crossover driver, and she seems to draw press coverage everywhere she goes. Of course, it's the second race in a row here that Johanna Long hasn't been in the event, so hopefully she'll be getting back in the car, and that can help her learning curve of running and then getting out of the car for a couple weeks. 12th was Reed Sorensen. Cole Witt was the, in the 88 was 13th. Ryan Blaney was 14th, filling in the 22 car. Brad Sweet was 15th. Jeff Green was 16th. Joe Nemechek, 17th. And Brad Keselowski wound up 18th. So, in the Nationwide points, Elliott Sadler's got a 13-point lead over Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Austin Dillon a little further back than that. Sam Hornish Jr. did not have a good day. Wound up in an early wreck. Still holds down the fourth spot. Michael Annette's fifth. Justin Allgaier was sixth. He didn't have. He had a banged up car. As a matter of fact, it was Sam Hornish who came up on Allgaier thinking he was clear. That put him. That beat up both cars. So. That set the tone for their night. Cole Witt, seventh. Eighth in the points is Mike Bliss, who also wrecked. Brian Scott, ninth. He made it through. And rounding out the top ten in nationwide points, about 300 out of the top spot is Danica. So, well, almost 400 points out. So, it's there were five cautions for 25 laps, failed to qualify, or the number 50 car, the 52, Joey Gase. They have TJ Bell listed in the 50, so I don't know if he was going to drive that car or not, because the one who took over his spot in the 50 car drove the 24 car, which normally would be Benny Gordon. David Starr took that spot. And that's who was driving the 50 the past couple races was David Starr. There were 21 lead changes amongst nine drivers for the 300 miler. So, Angela Cope did make the race. She ran into the back of, I think she ran into the back of Joe Nemechek, and that put her out. She took off on the start. It happened like lap one when they had that bunch up, and she punched the radiator, and that was it for her. So the only other lady in the field in the nationwide race. In the Cup race, we all know what happened. Of course, the big news, Dale Jr. Sitting out the Bank of America 500. Of course, next week's race, or this coming weekend's race at Kansas. So, with post-concussion symptoms re-injury at Talladega, where it was a second concussion or recurrence of which that happened when he was doing a tire test out at Kansas. So that's just one of the things that these have recurred. There was a lot of talk about when you get into the symptoms of having a concussion, that you want to make sure your head heals up completely before you get back in the car. So whether he gets back in the rest of this year or not, we'll have to wait and see. If he felt that he didn't feel right to drive the car, last thing he would need to do is re-injure himself. So he's out of the chase now, figuring there's two races he's not going to get a start in. And what I felt bad for his fill-in driver was Regan Smith, and he was running in the top 10 before a motor let go. So the fill-in driver in the 88 was doing real well, and Regan's out of the ride because after last week, Kurt Busch left Phoenix Racing, went over to Front Row, and started the car, the 78 car this week. And I left Regan Smith out of a ride, and so he was once Junior, Dale Jr. announced that he wasn't going to get back in the car for a couple of weeks. They tapped Regan Smith to drive, and he was running real good. Of course, once the motor let go, he wound up 38th. He was running 10th when he saw that cloud of smoke come out of the back of his car. So if you want to give us a call, the number is 646-649-1899. I'm Vince Bonfigli, hosting here at Garage Talk Live. And we're covering the recap in the weekend. Of course, Saturday night under the lights, the only night race in the chase. Everybody thought it was a Casey Kane night, being he was doing well at Charlotte Motor Speedway, but it turned out to be Clint Bowyer. Wound up being a gas mileage race. Now, Brad Keselowski was leading all the way up until the... Pretty much he ran out of gas on the last pit stop. He did take the... The bonus for leading the most laps, he led 139 of the 334 laps that were run, but it wasn't enough to, if he would have came in a lap sooner to get some fuel, he might have been able to hold on to that. He was leading when he ran out of gas, and the pit stop cost him because he spent a considerable amount of time in the pits and never got caught back up. Wound up one lap down, so he wasn't even in contention for a lucky dog should a caution have come out, which it never really did. A good day overall for Michael Waltz Racing. Of course, Clint Bowyer winning the race. Mark Martin, a good day, started outside pole, wound up sixth. And Martin Truex Jr. rounded out the top 10. So that's all three Michael Waltrip Racing drivers in the top 10. In the battle at the top of the points, it was Denny Hamlin holding on for second place ahead of Jimmy Johnson. So they gained some ground on Brad Keselowski. Greg Biffle came home fourth, started from the pole. Kyle Busch, a fifth place finish. I said Martin was sixth. Carl Edwards, good to see him back in the top 10. I think. Couple good runs the past couple weeks. Might be a boost for his confidence if he can sneak a win in here before the end of the year. Maybe he can coming back to Daytona in February. They would be able to, you know, start off where they left off last year. Maybe have another shot at a championship. This year hasn't been a good year for Mr. Edwards. Of course, Tony Stewart made the chase, but he didn't have the form he did last year. And when the time came for the chase, it's been a bit of a bumpy ride. Casey Kane was eighth, Joey Logano ninth. Said Martin Truex was 10th. Brad Keselowski did wind up 11th. Eric Almirola was 12th, and there was a little bit of passing back and forth between those two. And I think Keselowski managed to get back around for 11th, so Almirola finished 12th. Tony Stewart started 32nd, wound up 13th. Matt Kenseth, he's been having a bumpy chase. After winning at Talladega, wound up 14th. He had a lap down. You know, when you only have six cars on the lead lap, you know, there was a lot of green flag running. I think at the one point the caution was brought out. Somebody threw a beverage can on the track, and it wasn't a phantom caution. It was actually either a soda can or a beer can. I couldn't make up the label, but it was definitely a can shape. Give us a call if you want to talk about the race racing this weekend. The number is 646-649-1899. So let your voice be heard. Okay, and points as they sit. There were 20 leaders amongst 8 drivers. A lot of that, like I said, due to green flag stops, people staying out to get the bonus point for leading the lap. Brad Keselowski led the most laps, but not only does the one who leads the most laps win, and it turned out to be his turn. There were 5 cautions for 23 laps out of 334 laps. That's a pretty clean race. This week we have Kansas coming up. Second trip this year to the Kansas, so we'll have to see where the points wind up there. As a matter of fact, right now Brad Keselowski has a 7-point lead over Jimmy Johnson and a 15-point lead over Denny Hamlin. 28 back is Clint Bowyer, and right now I'll put the cutoff there. Anybody disagree with me? You think anybody else has a shot to make it back in? There's always a chance. Casey Kane is only 7 points back of Clint Bowyer, but he needs to step it up a bit to even get into the hunt and hope somebody else has a little bit of problem in front of him. So now we go out to Kansas, another mile and a halfer. We're looking at a track there. It's Clint, like I was talking with Kim Coons, Miss Spring Cup, that it's Clint Bowyer's home track, so he wants to do well there. And it's a track that a lot of guys do well at that are in the chase, including Jimmy Johnson, Casey Kane, Kenseth Keselowski, Edwards, Harvick, Bowyer, Biffle. I think the only one in the chase who I don't see in the top of the thing. Listen, we're talking, I'm not talking the earlier race. I'm talking the chase race from last year. And Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin did win the earlier race. So he's tightened it up a bit. Anybody wants to call in and make a pick, give me a call. 85, I'm ready to give you the old radio station number, 646-649-1899. So, I guess Garrett Martin, who was supposed to call in to promote something, isn't going to join us. There was a late ad by Tammy, who's going to probably either fill in next week or for me, because I'll be out on the road. I see and somebody in the chat window. Come on, instead of chatting with come on the air and let's and talk this way. I'd rather have you live on the air than sitting in a chat room, especially with no moderator this week. Anybody who tried to catch Girls Getting the Facts last week, Tammy was unavailable, and we don't know what happened to the rest of the show. Apparently, someone tried to call in and nothing was coming out live, so it's just one of those deals. Let's see, as far as a point of note, that Paul Brown, the 2011 GTS champion of the SCCA Pro Racing Pirelli World Challenge Series, died Saturday at his home of metastatic melanoma. Metastatic. that's the way it's spelled here, of melanoma skin cancer. He was 43 years old. Paul Brown Tiger Racing also won the team championship in the same series last year and secured the manufacturer's championship for Ford. The nameplate has always been very important to Brown, whose father is Mustang legend Kenny Brown of Kenny Brown Performance. Paul was unexpectedly diagnosed with skin cancer in March, just 2 weeks before the 2012 World Challenge season opener. So, Justin Bell drove his eBay Motorsports Kenny Brown Performance Ford Mustang Boss 302S in most of the races. Brown had a full knowledge of his prognosis, but was determined to try and drive in the doubleheader at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park in Bowmanville, Ontario, in June. Despite his illness, he could experience the thrills of competition and the camaraderie of his team and competitors at the same time. Sad day when you lose someone in racing, especially a young guy like that. He's not an old guy by any means, just 43 years old. It's kind of like racing's prime age. Passed away on Saturday. Of course, he competed in the second half of a doubleheader. The following day, his car suffered a broken header in that race, still finishing in the top 10. Drove in just one more race. So he was a last-minute entry in the Hawk with Brian Redman in the event July 15 at Road America. Drove the Tiger Ferrari 512M from last place in a 35-car G1 historic Can-Am field, the sixth overall, and first in class despite having stage 4 melanoma. 2011, he posted 5 World Challenge GTS victories, 10 top 10s, 9 top 5s, and secured a driver's championship with one race left. That matched Parnelli Jones's 1971 record-setting single-season victory record in the SECA Trans Am Championship for a production-based Mustang Boss 302s. Brown led more laps during that season than all the other GTS drivers combined and also set the fastest lap of the race in 7 of the 12 races. Did all this in a production car. He transformed into a race car in less than a month with a crew of 2. A documentary on the construction of this car entitled B514-1872 was produced by Alan Crockett. The film's name was taken from the Mustang's VIN number. Brown also won the NASA American Iron Extreme AIX Championship in 2009. He was the first NASA national race winner ever in A1 AIX in 2006. The year before that, he was a winner at Monterey Historics in a 61 Chaparral 1, placed 11th in the 2004 Le Mans Historic 24 Hours in a 71 Ferrari 512M, held a track record in SECA World Challenge, American Sedan, ITE, Super Unlimited, American Iron, and American Iron Extreme at many famous racetracks such as Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, Road Atlanta, Mossport, Mazda Raceway, Laguna Seca, Road America, Button Willow, Hallett, Mid-America Motorplex, St. Louis, and Heartland Park, Topeka. That's a lot of tracks that he's done well at. So he was a Tier 3 test driver for Ford, a factory test driver for Morgan Aero Racing USA, and a popular driver coach. Paul Brown entered his first race at age 16, starting in the autocross and Gymkhana events with his street cars through the local SECA chapter, then advancing to open track events with various clubs. Pro driving career started under his father's personal instruction in a Kenny Brown Mustang in his early 20s. His first professional job racing was working for his father on the Saline Autosport team in 86. Helped the team sweep all four categories in the Escort Endurance Series Championship in 1987, which exposed him to other top racers like Steve Saline, Rick Titus, Scott Pruitt, Parnelli Jones, George Fulmer, and Pete Halsmer, to name a few. That series evolved into the SCCA Pro Racing Speed World Challenge. A memorial service will be held at a later date, so keep posted. Check the Garage Talk Live Facebook page, and we'll try to get something up on that, on where to send stuff or donations, or depending on what the team has lined up. So, if you want to make your picks for Kansas, we'll be taking them on. Give us a call, 646-649-1899. I'm sitting here by the switchboard, and I'm going to go waiting for your call. Let's see. Who am I going to pick? I'll have to let you know. I'm thinking about it right now as we speak. So when I come up with who I'm going to formulate, we're going to come up this year and before we get off the air here in a few minutes, and I'll let you know my pick. So just trying to figure out who I want to formulate on the I think he's got a better shot at doing it. But right now, I'm still a little iffy. I know it's Clint Boyer's home track, so I really don't want to pick him just yet. Winning two in a row in this series is kind of tough. So, we'll just have to wait and see. Of course, like I said earlier, Hamlin, Truex, Jimmy Johnson, they were the top three in the first race this year, and that was in April. The weather is a little bit different. Teams have gotten tuned in because we figure this is race eight versus race 30. Well, this will be race 31. About 32, because that only leaves us with four more after that, which we have 36 this year. So, you know what? I think I know who I'm going to go with this one. Hamlin may have won, but I'm gonna pick the guy that finished second, had a dominating run. He might have it all together. He's in the chase. I'll pick Marty Truex Jr. That's going to be my pick for this year, okay? Let's see, who do we got here? Let's pick up Danny from West Virginia. Danny.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, not too bad. Well, you were here. Want to make a pick?
Oh, I'm picking Kyle Busch, as always.
You're picking Kyle, as always. So you're one of these guys that don't waver much. Stick with one guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
He did have a good run this week, but I don't know. These little green flag runs and gambling on fuel kind of throws everything into a tizzy.
I'm telling you, I don't see Dave Rogers coming back next year.
Nah.
No, I don't see him being back next year.
Well, it all depends. It's up to if his contract's up and they don't want to renew it. I mean, I personally don't think they should have let Steve Addington get away. You know?
Yeah. But he keeps on making boneheads. Huh?
I thought Kyle had better chemistry with Addington.
Yeah. This guy, he keeps making boneheaded calls. The engine department absolutely sucks, well, at least with his engines anyways. It's like,
yeah.
You don't see too much on the other two cars, but primary Kyle, so I don't know what's going on there.
Nah. So it's hard to tell. I saw you on the chat room a bit earlier, and...
Yeah, I'm also doing homework, too.
Doing homework.
Yeah.
I seen you put Jennifer Jo Cobb Racing up there, so do you have something you want
to... She's going to be doing the Nationwide race this weekend in a Chevy.
In a Chevy? Driving for who?
Herself, her own team.
Oh, she's doing the switcheroo, huh?
Yeah,
oh, that's her home track.
This is her home track.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Would have been
nice.
Her people never got back to.
Yeah. Steve's been posting pics of them working on her car, getting it ready for this weekend. It's going to be black.
What numbers are you sporting?
I think it's going to be 13.
That's going to run the 13?
Yeah, that's her normal number for the Nationwide Series.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I hope she can make the field. And she probably has more experience on that track from her Richard Petty driving experience days when she was an instructor. So.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to look, see if I can find anything on Steve's page of more pics. But yeah, they got out of the paint booth. They're working on it. I don't see any pics of it decaled yet.
Well, that'll probably depend on if you get line up a sponsor towards the end of the week. Then that's when you'll start seeing all the decals come up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty car. I mean, it's a bright, glossy black. Right now, they got... He has pictures of him on the pull-down rink. Huh.
She's driving a Chevy, huh? Who's is it a Hendrick or a Childress Motors?
I have no clue. I think this was a car that they bought, like a used one. That they can get cheap. But I'm telling you, it looks pretty good from all the pics I've seen.
Is it on her racing page?
Creechy Steve has it on his YFrog account. And if you go to his Facebook page, Steve Kuykendall.
Yeah.
Kuykendall. Yeah.
I saw the first couple letters and shit, it comes up.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah. He gets most of the pics on his page. But, yeah. Him and Jennifer work very well together.
They've been together for since I could remember.
Since I've been a fan of hers, they've been together. I think he came on right after the Daytona race.
Yeah, they've been together since, I think, either 2010 or 2009. I think she came on pretty strong in 2010. That was her real good year. And the year she finished 17th in owner's points or in points. And then she had a pretty good year that year.
Yeah, and, like, all of her cars were named after Wizard of the Oz characters.
Yeah, she had some good stuff going on.
Yeah. And she's getting right back in there. She's moving back up, getting stuff back to where she was, and even better. She has Gun Shows USA.com sponsoring her. Coeva Unwind, it's like a drink to help you sleep or basically, you know, rest and stuff. She has that as a sponsor now.
Oh, good.
Plus, Driven to Honor, her little charity, she still got that.
Right, the Driven Mail and...
for her, like, shirts and hats.
It's Driven Mail and... What was the other? Driver's Boutique. That was the girl side.
Yeah. Driver's Boutique is the ladies' apparel, and then Driven Mail is the men's apparel.
So, well, let's pull for her this weekend, too, because... I'm trying to get her back on the show. I know she did the other show, but she hasn't done
mine
in a couple
years.
She's been pretty
busy.
I know.
Yeah. In fact, her crew was crewing Amber Copes, or was it Angela Copes' car this weekend?
Yeah.
And once again, I did not wish them all luck. And before the race even starts, there was a crash involving them. So the crew member, like Scott... I knew I was going to get it, so I just went ahead and went to his page, like, I'm sorry, I didn't write down my normal status for you all. And he's like, I'm telling you, there's something to do.
So you're a jinx, huh?
Yeah, if I don't write that status, every time, like, I forget to write, they crash before the race even starts.
That's
it twice.
So... All right, Danny, well, we're going to let you go right now because I'm going to call it an early night. Thanks for joining us again.
Okay.
And we'll pull for Jennifer Joe in the Nationwide race this Saturday.
Okay. All right. Talk to you later, man.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye. This is Vince Bonfigli, and you've been listening to Garage Talk Live. So if tune in next Monday, if we have a show, Tammy will be hosting it. I'll be on the road. So it's just one of those things that something came up, and I won't be able to join you all live. So we'll see you all in 2 weeks. Definitely you'll see me. You'll see me in 2 weeks. And we are out of here. Bye.